From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
Here's the news. Palm oil industry will remain crucial national economic backbone. And now the news in details. The palm oil and derivative product industry would still serve as a crucial pillar of the national economy. The government has confidence that in future, the palm industry will still be an important pillar of the national economy. This was said by Vice President Ma'ruf Amin at the Vice President's Palace on Friday, as quoted by Antara. The Vice President made the remark while opening the 11th national meeting of the Indonesian Palm Oil Association, or GAPKI, also attended by Agriculture Minister Syahrul Yasin Limpo and head of GAPKI, Joko Supriyono. The Vice President affirmed currently the palm oil industry has been one of the national economic backbones. Ministry invites Japanese investor to take part in IKN development. The Indonesian Public Works and Public Housing, or PUPR, Ministry has invited Japanese business players to invest in the development of Indonesia's future capital, Nusantara. The PUPR Ministry has started the construction of various infrastructures in IKN to show the government's seriousness in building the IKN. This was conveyed by head of the Ministry Task Force for IKN Infrastructure Development, Danis Hidayat Sumadilaga, in a statement released on Friday as reported by Antara. He further said that his side has invited Japanese investors and business stakeholders to take part in the development of IKN. Because it has been guaranteed by a strong legal basis, namely Law No. 3 of 2022 regarding state securities. Trade Minister Zulkifli Hasan is pushing for an increase in the exports of Indonesian horticultural products by providing assistance to entrepreneurs experiencing export-related problems in destination countries. Hasan also said he believes that increased export will help the economy and improve the welfare of Indonesian farmers. According to Minister Zulkifli Hasan, during a discussion with pineapple, banana and coffee farmers in Lampung on Friday, the government, entrepreneurs, and people are one unity. If Indonesian farmers and entrepreneurs are successful, exports will increase and it will be the success of the trade ministry as well. The Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Ministry has outlined 6 strategies that will adopt to develop micro, small, and medium enterprises in the maritime and fisheries sector. This statement was delivered by Director of Business and Investment at the Ministry Directorate General of Maritime and Fisheries Products Competitiveness, Chatur Sarwanto, during the third episode of Bincang Bahari, on Friday, as quoted by Antara. He further appointed the strategy as for business aspects, there are funding, production, management, information system, and market access, as well as food and logistics quality and security assurance systems. The 2023 marks 70 years since the first cohort of Colombo Plan Indonesia scholarship recipients arrived in Australia. The Australian scholarship program is the longest running program in Indonesia. This was conveyed by the Australian ambassador to Indonesia, Penny Williams, PMS, at the launch of the 70 years of Australian scholarship in Indonesia campaign. On Friday afternoon in Jakarta, Penny further pointed out that alumni are very important to develop cooperation between the government of Indonesia and Australia and also build businesses, security, and prosperity for both countries. Currently, Australia has more than 200,000, including you, alumni from Indonesia, including senior leaders in the government and business sectors. The alumni of Australia comes from various backgrounds. They are extraordinary and very talented people with various skills. Moreover, to celebrate this historic year, the Australian Embassy and Consulate General in Indonesia will be holding a year-long campaign to celebrate alumni achievements and promote Australia's global alumni program to a new generation of graduates across Indonesia. Saudi project cleared 4,811 explosive devices from Yemen in February. Nearly 5,000 mines and other explosive devices were cleared from Yemen in February, according to statistics released by MASAM, a Saudi humanitarian landmine clearance project. AS reported by ArabNews.com, its monthly report reveals its teams dismantled 809 anti-tank mines, 61 explosive devices, 29 anti-personnel mines, and 3,912 other items of unexploded ordnance, all within an area of 789,942 square meters. Since it was founded in 2018, MASAM has removed a total of 309,706 mines and other unexploded ordnance randomly placed by the Houthis across Yemen, according to the project's media office. Vietnam suggests NAM implements people-centered recovery policies. Vietnamese ambassador to Russia and Azerbaijan Dang Minh Khoi has emphasized Vietnam's policies of putting people at its center and its dual goals for both disease control and socio-economic development, which has helped Vietnam gain an impressive growth rate of 8.02% last year. As reported from vovworld.vn, at the summit of Non-Aligned Movement, or NAM, contact group response to the COVID-19 pandemic held in Baku, Azerbaijan, on Thursday, Khoi stated Vietnam has been contributing to international efforts on COVID-19 prevention by providing medical supplies to countries and making donations to the UN's COVID-19 Response Fund. And that was the news.
The first news comes from Nagan Raya Regency, Aceh Province. As many as 180 micro, small and medium enterprises in Nagan Raya, Aceh and outside Aceh Province took part in the Remene Expo 2023 event, which was centered on the Suka Makmur Office Square, Nagan Raya Regency. Participants consisted of 60 Nagan Raya micro, small and medium enterprises stands and 120 business actors spread across Aceh and outside Aceh. Acting Regent of Nagan Raya, Fitriani Farhas, in Suka Makmur, last Wednesday said the event was aimed at improving the welfare of the community, especially small, micro and medium enterprises, and increasing creative economic businesses in the area. Micro, Small and Medium Enterprises Expo Remene Raya 2023, this time also enlivened by the Nagan Raya Regency Cultural Arts Performance. The next news comes from Manggarai Regency, East Nusa Tenggara Province. Senior Licensing Land and Communication Manager of Indonesia State Electricity Company, PTPLN Nusa Tenggara, Dede Marizal, on Thursday said Manggarai Regency Flores Island, East Nusa Tenggara Province, had a high enough geothermal potential of nearly 1,000 MW. According to him, the potential is at 16 points, with the largest potential in the Pocoleoc area, Manggarai Regency. Dede Marizal added, Flores Island had been designated as a geothermal island through a ministerial decree. The latest news comes from Garut, West Java. A total of 3 cultural works from Garut Regency, namely the Ngawuwuh Tradition, Burayot Food Products, and Dodol, were designated as the 2023 Non-Object Cultural Heritage by the West Java Provincial Government for further determination at the national level. Head of Culture at the Garut Regency Tourism and Culture Office, Tita Puspitasari, in Garut on Thursday said that the 3 cultural works from Garut were part of 54 cultural works as a cultural heritage in 2023 level of West Java Province, which was subsequently by the West Java Province Tourism and Culture Office proposed to the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. That was news from across Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in History. We begin with the event on March 4, 1961, when Indonesia purchased weapons from the Soviet Union. On March 4, 1961, Indonesian Army Chief of Staff General Abdul Haris Nasution, who also served as Minister of Defense, purchased weapons from the Soviet Union. The purchase was ordered by the first Indonesian President Sukarno. This was done due to the tension of relations between Indonesia and the Netherlands at that time. With the purchase of these weapons, the morale of the Indonesian armed forces improved because the assistance provided by the Soviets at that time greatly strengthened Indonesia's defense. Let's move to another event on 1970, the birthday of Alex Creville Tapias, Spanish MotoGP racer. Alex Creville Tapias was born in Ceuta, Spain. Alex won the 125cc GP World title in 1989 with the Repsol YPF Honda team. He also won the 500cc GP World title in 1999. In 2000, he still competed for the same team. Moreover, he had won the series title at the French Grand Prix Le Mans circuit, and he was ranked 9th in the final season standings. We end today in history with the event on March 4, 1980, when Robert Mugabe became the first colored prime minister in Zimbabwe. Nationalist group Robert Mugabe won an election to become the first colored prime minister in Zimbabwe, or previously named Rhodesia, on March 4, 1980. Mugabe Zimbabwe African National Union Patriotic Front Party won 57 out of 80 seats in parliament in the first election since the end of Zimbabwe's white minority rule. News of Mugabe's victory was broadcast on Zimbabwean radio and television that made thousands of colored people in the country rally to streets to celebrate. Mugabe is a respected independence figure. The rooster, which has become Mugabe's symbol, had inspired his supporters to keep on raising their voices and flapping their wings. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
Kembali terjadi, kau mainkan hati untuk kesekian kali. Kau ingkar akan janji, kau ubah segala cerita yang bila nanti ku pergi, jangan kau
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on Indonesia receives a grant of $5.5 million from South Korea to increase the capacity of small and medium enterprises. The Indonesian government received grants in the form of collaboration on smart factory adoption and human resource training worth $5.5 million from South Korea to increase the capacity of small and medium enterprises. As quoted on the Antara page on February the 28th, Deputy for Small and Medium Enterprises of the Indonesian Ministry of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises, Hanung Harimba Rahman, after signing the Memorandum of Understanding between the Ministry and the Innobiz Association of Korea regarding the project in Jakarta, said Tuesday that this is a collaborative measure to help small and medium enterprises enter the industrial ecosystem 4.0. Also, to implement smart factories, IoT technology, AI, so they can enter the manufacturing industry supply chain. This is an important step, especially since Korea is superior in the manufacturing industry. He hopes that the maximum benefit for small and medium enterprises. The Korean government initiated cooperation with the Indonesian government to support the small and medium enterprises development through supporting the transformation into smart factory and training specialized manpower in Jawa province for innovation in Indonesian manufacturing industry. In this project, there will be 30 small and medium enterprises recommended by the ministry to receive training on the adoption of smart factories built at universities. Not only that, there will be 100 experts to be trained regarding smart factory operations in the collaboration that will last for the next 4 years. There are also small and medium enterprises that are targeted to be able to participate in the program, including those from the automotive, manufacturing, food and beverage, textile sectors, electronics, chemistry, and agriculture. Meanwhile, policy head of Innobiz Institute, Sae Jong Kim, explained that a smart factory service center would be built at the university so that there would be cooperation on the training curriculum. Sae Jong Kim also said that his party had built 30,000 smart factories in Korea. Innobiz Institute will invite them to Indonesia to share experiences or vice versa. He hopes that this program can increase the capacity of small and medium enterprises in Indonesia. Collaboration with Innobiz, which is a micro, small and medium enterprises certification institution in South Korea, is also hoped to be able to assist the Indonesian government in developing schemes, research and policies related to macro, small and medium enterprises certification, which are implementable and in accordance with the business ecosystem in Indonesia. That was My Indonesia Today.
What you really mean to say? Words we today.
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder.
The title of the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition is Girimanik Waterfall from Central Java. Wonogiri Regency, which is approximately located 55 kilometers from Solo City in Central Java Province, has a tourism attraction. It is also located in a protected forest area that gives a beautiful nuance as well as a natural panorama which spoils the eyes, namely Girimanik Waterfall. Once you enter the Girimanik Waterfall in Setron Village, Slogohimo Sub-District, Wonogiri Regency, you will be amazed by the charm of its natural beauty. Listener, the distance from the downtown of Wonogiri Regency to Girimanik Waterfall is around 45 kilometers. The road access to the location of the tourism attraction can be passed by motorcycle and car. But if you want to travel faster, you can use a motorbike. This Girimanik Waterfall tourism attraction is open every day from 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. in the afternoon. Facilities in the Girimanik Waterfall tourism area are classified as complete to support the comfort of tourists, such as parking areas, toilets, and restaurants. There is no lodging at the location, but some visitors who come often do camping activities. Listener, this Girimanik Waterfall has three waterfalls in one area, namely Tejomoyo Waterfall, which is about 30 meters high, Manikmoyo Waterfall is about 70 meters high, and Condromoyo Waterfall is approximately 30 meters high. The three waterfalls have very different characteristics, different names, places, and also sites of its beauty. The three waterfalls in the Girimanik Waterfall area have very clear water. Another attraction of Girimanik Waterfall is a location which is passed by visitors, namely an area filled with pine trees, and there is a canteen with a comfortable seat and a tree house that can be used as a photo spot. The panoramic natural surroundings are very beautiful. Particularly during the rainy season, the area will be covered with fog with very cool air. It guarantees to make your vacation more memorable. That's the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition, and see you tomorrow with another interesting topic. I am Ahmad Faisal.
Jalani dunia tak seindah. kamu, percuma senyumku dengan dia. Sebab kau terlalu indah dari sekedar kata. Dunia berhenti sejenak menikmati indahmu.
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOI listener, three students from the Department of Architecture, Faculty of Engineering, University of Indonesia won honorable mention winners in the International Las Vegas Affordable Housing Challenge Competition, United States. This competition was organized by Biltner or Bee Breeders. The three students from class of 2019 are Dia Lutfia, Lulu Savitri Wijaya Joni, and Nadia Putri Humaira. Their design, named Living in Tunnel, succeeded in utilizing unused tunnels as an alternative to homeless housing. The Living in Tunnel design aims to address not only the homeless crisis in Las Vegas, but also social challenges through the idea of living in a tunnel. In designing Living in Tunnel, the students were directly guided by a professor from the Department of Architecture, Faculty of Engineering, University of Indonesia, Evawani Elisa M. Eng, PhD, professional architect Baik Lisa Wahyulina, STMRS, IAI, and assistant lecturer Aulia Urrohmah, SRS. Professor Evawani Elisa said, "After trying to understand the situation in Las Vegas City, through a study of secondary data, the team saw the tunnel as an opportunity. In Living in Tunnel, tunnels that are not used can be used as the main structure. The only thing that needs to be done is to build construction units in it so that it can answer the main requirement for this contest, which is affordable housing in Las Vegas. In general, their idea to reduce construction costs is a design with a modular concept inside the tunnel. The concept of a modular and self-construction is flexible in nature according to the needs of users or prospective occupants." The Dean of Engineering Faculty at the University of Indonesia, Professor Heri Hermansyah at the University of Indonesia Depok Campus West Java, said on Thursday, "The solution provided by the University of Indonesia architecture team in responding to the housing crisis in Las Vegas by using the modular concept in the tunnel proves that the students of engineering faculty at the University of Indonesia are students who have critical and solutive thinking in responding to various phenomena that happen." Well, listener, that was a very mesmerizing information from Indonesia on miscellany. From Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Yang megah, amin. Tak
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Kita by Bella Nadinda. The song composed by Eros Chandra was released in 1999 and popularized by Sheila on 7. The song tells about someone's doubt in her love relationship, that she feels sure of the relationship because of his sweet words. Well, listener, here is Bella Nadinda with the keroncong song entitled Kita. Enjoy!
Sama di waktu kita tertawa menangis merenung oleh cinta, ku coba hapuskan rasa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.